Padarindam, lotus feet,
Yoga Ishwarai,
by the great mystic yogis, Priti,
within the heart,
Vichintyam, to be meditated upon, Agadhabodhai, who were highly learned.
Philosophers.
Samsara Kupa, the dark well of material existence. Patita, of those fallen. Uttara, the deliverers. Avalambam,
the only shelter.
Geha, family affairs. Jusham, of those engaged. Api, although. Manasi,
in the minds.
Udiya, let be awakened. Sada,
always.
Naha,
our.
Translation. The gopis spoke thus, Dear Lord, whose navel is just like lotus flower. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that this lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. So Srila Prabhupada wrote a very nice purport to this verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I will read this purport from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 1, text number 82. In fact, this is the purport to a Bengali verse, which is a Bengali version of this Sanskrit verse. Tomara charana mora vraja pura gari udaya karaya jadi tabi vancha puri. The gopis thought, Dear Lord, your lotus feet again come to our home in Vrindavan. Our desire will be fulfilled. If your lotus feet will come again to our home in Vrindavan, our desires will be fulfilled. Purport. In Anubhasya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, The gopis are purely engaged in the service of the Lord without motive. They are not captivated by the opulence of Krishna, nor by the understanding that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naturally, gopis were inclined to love Krishna, for He was an attractive young boy in Vrindavana village. Being village girls, they were not very much attracted to the field of Kurukshetra, where Krishna was present with elephants, horses, royal dresses. Indeed, they did not very much appreciate Krishna in that atmosphere. Krishna was not attracted by the opulence or personal beauty of the gopis, but by their pure devotional service. Similarly, the gopis were attracted to Krishna as a cowherd boy, not in a sophisticated guise. Lord Krishna is inconceivably powerful. To understand Him, great yogis and saintly persons give up all material engagements and meditate upon Him. Similarly, those who are overly attached to material enjoyment or enhancement of material opulence, to family maintenance or to liberation from the entanglements of this material world, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But such activities and motivations are unknown to the gopis. They are not at all expert in executing such auspicious activities. Already transcendentally enlightened, they simply engage their purified senses in the service of the Lord in the remote village of Vrindavan. The gopis are not interested in dry speculation, in the arts, in music, or other conditions of material life. They are bereft of full understanding of material enjoyment and renunciation. Their only desire is to see Krishna return and enjoy spiritual transcendental pastimes with them. The gopis want him simply to stay in Vrindavan so that they can render service unto him for his pleasure. There is not even a tinge of personal sense gratification in their desire to serve him. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki ahuścate nalina nāva padāra dindam yogeśvarai hridi vichintya magadha bhodhai samsāra kūpa patitotara nāva lambam yeham juṣāṁ matimanas yudhiyat sadhāna. The Gopi spoke like this. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like lotus flower, whose lotus feet are only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great yogic, mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that this lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutare Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Sutarine Vanchakalpadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajanu Lambita Pujokanaka Vadata Sankirtanai Kapitaram Kamala Daksha Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Pala Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna. So this verse was spoken by Śrī Caitanya Mahāprabhu during the celebration of Ratha-yatra festival in Jagannath Puri. Śrīla Krishnadasa Kaviraj Goswami in great details explains the meaning of this festival and the behavior of the Lord when he was pulling the cart, Ratha, of Lord Jagannath. He was celebrating this glorious occasion of Lord Krishna returning to Vrindavan from Dvaraka. And here we are in the temple of Rukmini Dvarakadish. And our hidden desire today is to steal Krishna away from Rukmini Devi. So I'm begging forgiveness for my impudence from Rukmini Devi. But I will have to speak the truth today. It's a special day. For many, many days in the years, she enjoys the company of Lord Krishna. But today, he will be going away from her company. So, Lord Jagannath is Dvarakadish. Srila Prabhupada explained this. Jagannath Puri. Lord Jagannath resides and where he is actually the presiding deity is the Dvaraka. The real Dvaraka is here on the west, but on the opposite side in the east, there is another Dvaraka. The Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, is ruling over as the powerful ruler, as the king. But at the same time, he is slightly different in Jagannath Puri than in Dvaraka. Here in Dvaraka, he is very dutifully performing his duties as the powerful ruler. But in Jagannath Puri, although externally he behaves like a king, internally he is always absorbed in the thoughts of Vrindavan. And that's why his form is kind of changed. Here he is Dvarakadish, and he has stately royal appearance. But there he looks strange. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this very esoteric form of Jagannath in a very interesting way. He says this is the symbol of God. Jagannath means the ruler of the universe. And basically, God, or ruler of the universe, has to have certain qualities which are incumbent for being God. If you want to be God, and sometimes people claim that they're God, you have to have certain qualities. And the first quality of this is that you have to be all-pervading. So if somebody claims that he is God, please ask him what somebody is doing, what your relative is doing in Mumbai or somewhere else, and see if he has the answer to this. God is all-pervading. And therefore Lord Jagannath doesn't have legs. Basically he doesn't have legs because he has nowhere to go because he's everywhere. He doesn't need legs. You only need legs because you're not all-pervading. If you're all-pervading, you don't need legs. So Lord Jagannath doesn't have legs. And he has big arms. And the arms are stretched. And basically it means he's all-powerful. Because God, that's another quality, attribute of God, has to be all-powerful. He has to know what he is doing and he has to have hands-on on every affair in this world. So that's why Lord Jagannath has these powerful arms. And also he has big eyes. And big eyes means what?
He's all-knowing.
Yeah, that he sees everything. Basically, his big eyes, not just small eyes, huge eyes, means that he sees everything. He knows everything. And first of all, he sees our heart. Because he is there within our heart. He knows everything, he knows every movement of this entire material manifestation. Not only material manifestation, even spiritual manifestation. Of course, in the spiritual world, he is Mugdha, he is bewildered. He pretends that he doesn't know. But at least here, he knows everything, therefore he has these huge, big eyes. And he stares very carefully on this material creation. And then, second feature, or the fourth feature of God, the most important feature of God is his big smile. When you look at Lord Jagannath, he's smiling always. And what does the big smile signify? No, he's blissful, yes, but because he's blissful, he's also all merciful. Because he's so blissful himself, he wants to share this bliss with everyone. And therefore, the most important quality of God is he's loving. He loves everyone. He's all merciful. And this figure of Jagannath symbolizes this essential attributes of God. And everyone, again, who claims to be God, has to have these qualities of God. But also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in Jagannath Puri, Lord Krishna, who has all these qualities, he has a very special feature. He is kind of deformed. And this deformation which takes place in his all-beautiful form signifies his attraction to the fallen souls. Another name of Lord Jagannath is Patita Pavan. Patita Pavan means he is savior or purifier of all the fallen people, of all the fallen souls. And specifically, it means, and this is how it is connected with the verse which we read, specifically it means that his heart is melted. Why he is so deformed? Because his heart is melted. Our external appearance is the manifestation of the heart of the consciousness. And it basically betrays or signifies the condition of our heart. And even more so, it is true in case of God. So when Lord Jagannath takes this form, it means that his heart is totally melted. And why the heart is melted? Why the human heart melts. There is only one reason why the human heart melts. And we can see and know something about God while studying our own heart. Because we are made on the image of God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we are little Krishnas. Krishna is God and he is big Krishna. little Krishnas. They are small replicas of Krishna. And we can understand why our heart melts. We know that there is only one reason why our heart melts. Because of the attachment. When we get attached to somebody or something, our heart becomes soft. Otherwise it's hard. The heart is very, you know, it's very logical. But when there is a touch of attachment there in the heart, then immediately the heart melts. And you know, your heart goes to somebody. If you see a little kid and you develop some little attachment to this little kid, immediately your heart melts. So basically, this form of the Lord signifies that his heart is totally melted. It's not hard anymore. It's melted. And it's melted because of his attachment. And it's melted because of his attachment, well, to us also, but he's not very much attached to us. Let's be honest. There is nothing to be in us to be attached to. But he's attached to gopis. He's attached to their love. Basically, today he wants to leave Dvaraka. He's fed up. He doesn't want to stay here any longer. Because here he's worshipped in awe and reverence and opulence, and everyone is asking him something, and he is the king who fulfills all the desires, but ultimately he is bored. Because he sees the selfishness in everyone's heart. Everyone comes to him and he is either directly or indirectly asking something. Directly or indirectly has some selfish motivation and goes to him. Not because he loves him, not because he, attracted to him, but because he just wants something from him. And he doesn't mind of fulfilling all those desires, but ultimately, he's bored. Ultimately, he cannot be himself in this environment. If you ask some powerful person something, it's a pleasure for him to fulfill your desires. If somebody comes and cries and say, oh, you're so great, yeah, you feel good about it for some time. But ultimately, you cannot be yourself. You can only be yourself when somebody is loving you, when somebody approaches you with pure heart. And therefore, on this day of Ratha Yatra, Lord Dvarakadish, he puts off his crown. He says, I'm done with it. I don't like it anymore. And he puts in a peacock feather. And he says, I'm not a king anymore. I want to go to Vrindavan. I want to go to this remote village, as Prabhupada says, that he is only himself in this village surrounding. Actually, we should not be mistaken or fooled by this simple appearance of Vrindavan. Sometimes people don't understand that Vrindavan is greater than any opulence of this world. Sometimes even Goddess of Fortune doesn't understand this. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita said that during Ratha Yatra, on the fifth day of Ratha Yatra, she comes to Lord Jagannath in a very angry mood. And she says, my husband is very intelligent. I always knew that my husband is very expert in everything which he is doing. And he is so intelligent. Why in the world does he leave such an opulent place and goes to this stupid forest? If you are intelligent, you have to know better. You know, everyone likes to be in opulent surrounding. You know. If somebody would come to you and say, my dear sir, what would you choose? To be in a village or in an opulent city? Everyone goes. You know, the majority of the population of India goes to the big cities, especially Mumbai. Mumbai is the king of the cities. Because it's opulent. And everyone likes opulent surrounding. Everyone likes this stupid comforts of life. And Goddess of Fortune, she doesn't understand this. She says, I made all the comforts for my Lord. He's sitting there in the throne. No, not this throne. Much better. The golden throne, bedecked with jewels. And he is served by so many, many people and servants, and everyone is bringing some food to him to eat, like here Chapel Gold. You know, so many times of the day they give him this prasadam and that prasadam, and they take care of his, you know, comforts and everything. And Lotus of Fortune says, what the heck he is doing here in this village? Why in the world he goes to Vrindavan? And sometimes even devotees don't understand this. Sometimes they think that Krishna likes opulence. And but Vrindavan, and this is very interestingly proven in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vrindavan is more opulent than all the opulences in the world. In Vrindavan, in connection with this Hara Panchami festival, there is a description of a conversation between Swarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur. Swarup Damodar, he represents Vrindavan devotee, the devotees whose heart is in Vrindavan. And he says, my Lord knows better. He knows where to go. He doesn't like Dwaraka. He goes to Vrindavan. He runs away from Dwaraka. And gopis pull him there by the attachment of their hearts back to Vrindavan. And Srivas Pandit says, no, look, you know, now Goddess of Fortune comes to him, orders him, and he goes back. And Srivas Pandit says, you know, what is this Vrindavan? What is so good about Vrindavan? In Vrindavan there is only dust. You know, this is the opulence of Vrindavan. So much dust is there. Brajaraj. Very soft dust of Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan there are some flowers and some minerals and some, you know, colors, mineral colors, and some stones and some peacock feathers. This is the opulence of Vrindavan. And he says, you know, who wants to be there in Vrindavan? It's much better here. And Swarup Damodar says, please, you don't understand anything. This dust of Vrindavan is made of touchstone. It's the most precious jewel, and it's there. It's more precious than rubies and emeralds and anything else in this creation. It's touchstone. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan never ask anything from this touchstone. Touchstone has this quality, you know, it can fulfill any desires of yours. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're so simple, they never ask touchstone to fulfill their desires. And he says all the trees of Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling trees. They're kalpavrikshas. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan never go to these trees and say, please give me this and give me that. No, they just pluck some fruits, some useless fruits which are there and eat. And he says all the cows here are not just ordinary cows. They're all Kamadena cows. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan never ask these Kamadena cows for anything else, just ask for little milk. They say, your cow, you have to give milk. You don't have to give us some opulent apartment in Mumbai. There's no point. They only ask for milk. He says, this, you should not be fooled or should not be mistaken by looking in this village surrounding of Vrindavan, because this is the greatest opulence in the world is here in Vrindavan, but it's hidden because it's covered by love. And the love is greater than greatest of the opulence of this world. And therefore Krishna loves Vrindavan more than anything else. Because it's all covered by love, and when the love is there, there is simplicity. The opulence and awe and reverence is manifestation of Aishwarya. Aishwarya means the power. Aishwarya means Ishvara. It comes from this Ishvara Bhav. Aishwarya means the manifestation of this power. And this is most attractive thing in this world, Aishwarya, power. But Krishna knows better. He knows that the most precious thing in this world is love. And not only love, but a very special quality of this love. That's why he's so attracted to Vrindavan. It's actually interesting. I was there for the first time in my life in this Dwarakadish temple. And when I was approaching Lord Dwarakadish for darshan, I looked in the door, and on the top of the door, silver beautiful door, there is Radha and Krishna and peacocks. There is a picture of Radha and Krishna and peacocks. So even here in Dwaraka, they admit that Vrindavan is higher. Because all other abodes, including Dwaraka, can give moksha. This is Moksha Dayata Dham. There are seven big cities, seven puras, and the whole of India, seven holy cities which gives liberation, which gives moksha. This is Avanti, and Kanchi, and Benares, Kashi, and Hardwar, Ayodhya, Dwaraka, what else? Huh? And Mathura, of course, Mathura. There are seven great cities which give liberation, gives this moksha. But Vrindavan, which is situated in the district of Mathura, in the city of Mathura, and Mathura, Mathura Mandal in general, can give bhakti. And bhakti is much better than liberation. Dwaraka cannot give bhakti. Dwaraka can give you liberation. It is said actually in Varaha Puran, in glorification of Mathura Mahatmyam, in glorification of Mathura Dham, Mathura Mandala, it is said that if you commit sins outside of the Holy Dham, just by going to Holy Dham, all the sins are absolved. You're purified from all the sins. That's why people travel, you know, so difficultly, with great difficulties to Holy Dhams. A guy came here by bus. I mean, it was the most hellish night in my life. But I, within my heart, I was thinking that some austerity has to be there. You cannot get to the Holy Dham without some austerity. It's good. And before that, people used to go by foot, you know, so many miles and miles and miles barefoot to the Holy Dham, because they want purification from their sins. And it is said very clearly in the scriptures that if you go, if you commit any sin outside of the Holy Dham, and just by coming to the Holy Dham, you're forgiven. There is no sins anymore. You come here, you commit, you perform some rituals, you take bath in the holy tank or ocean or whenever you're supposed to take bath, and all the sins are washed away. But it is also said in the scriptures, in the Svaraha Puran, if you commit sins in the Holy Dham, there is no forgiveness for you. It is said that Vajralepa Bhavishyati, your heart becomes hard like diamond. Vajralepa is a special Ayurvedic procedure. When you want to burn some metals, you burn the metals, because metals are so hard, you burn the metals in the pot which is made of diamond, because this is the only thing which can hold so much temperature. And it's called Vajralepam. And Vajralepam means something very hard. So it is said, if you commit sins in a holy dham, in a holy place, then your heart becomes very hard. So hard that bhakti will not penetrate it. It's actually, it's a very horrible condition. Why the holy places are so quickly become degraded? Because people who live here, they become neglectful. And because being neglectful, they commit some sinful activities and they become cruel. Basically, the condition of the hard heart means that you become very cruel, very, very cruel person. And that's what we see. We can see that if people are not careful enough and not conscientious enough to live here in a very pure life and commit sins in the Holy Dham, then they become very degraded, much more degraded than even outside. There is no hope for them. But it is also said in the Svaraha Puran that in all the Holy Dhams it's like this. In all the seven cities it's like this, besides one, except for one, except for Mathura. If you commit sins in Mathura, you will be washed away from the sins in Mathura itself. It doesn't mean that you have to go to Mathura to commit sins. But it shows the greatness of Mathura, because Mathura does not give just liberation. If you want liberation from the sufferings of this world, which is the reaction or the consequence of your sins which you commit, you can go to the holy place and be freed or be purified from your sins. But if you go to Mathura, and today we are taking the Lord to Mathura, then you can get bhakti. And when you get bhakti, and it is said in Padma Puran that if you come to Mathura and spend just one day there, you can get bhakti. You can get love of God. Just for one day. And if you get bhakti, then even if you commit sins in the holy town, it is forgiven. Krishna doesn't take it seriously. So this is the glory of Mathura, because it's a boat of love. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita it is explained that Lord Chaitanya during Ratayatra festival, he was singing this beautiful song. He says, Anyarahridayaman Moraman Brindavan. He was singing that Anyarahridayaman means that all other people, their consciousness is the same as their mind. Their heart is the same as their mind. And in our mind there are so many desires. And we know that within our heart there are so many different desires and so many different unwanted things are there. And Lord Chaitanya says, Anyarahridayaman, you know, all the consciousness of people, the heart of other people, they just, whatever is there in the mind. And he says, Moraman Brindavan. But my mind is Vrindavan. In my mind there is nothing else, just the desire to be in Vrindavan. And it means that there is nothing else but the desire to love God. And not just love Him, but love Him in a very special way. Why Mathura is so special? Why Vrindavan is so special? Because there is a unique quality of love which is there in Mathura or Vrindavan, which is nowhere else. Here in Dwarka, the queens of Dwarka, they love Krishna. Because Krishna is their husband, and because he is king, and because he is so opulent, and because he is taking nice care of them. You can read in the 10th canto of Srivad Bhagavatam how Krishna was very careful of fulfilling all the desires of his queens. And Narada Muni was traveling here in Dwarka, he would go to one palace and he would see that Krishna is playing chess with one queen. And he is petting his children in another palace. And he is taking prasadam in another palace. And he is doing something else in another palace. And he is taking care of all the queens so nicely. But the difference between the love of the queens of Dwarka, Dwarka Ranis, so many of them are here, 16,108. The difference between their love and the love of the gopis of Vrindavan is that queens of Dwarka, they not only love Krishna, they have children, they have 10 sons each, and they have one daughter each. They have 11 children. And they love their children, not less than Krishna. And sometimes even more, because Krishna is grown up and the children are so small. You know? But gopis of Vrindavan, they don't love anyone else. They only love Krishna. Their love is not divided. They don't have sons. Or even if they have sons, they forget about it. Because their love for Krishna is so strong. The love of the queens of Vrindavan is divided into 12 parts. But the whole heart of the gopis of Dwarka, queens of Dwarka, but the whole heart of the gopis of Vrindavan is given to Krishna entirely. And they don't care about anything else. They don't care about anyone else. They only care about Krishna because they love Him so much. And when Krishna sees what they're ready to give up for Him, for His behalf, He starts crying. Because what is most precious thing which any lady has? Her love to the children, household affairs, and the honor. I am an honest lady. I am a chaste lady. The gopis of Vrindavan are ready to forsake their chastity for Krishna's sake. I mean, it's really unbelievable. The goddess of fortune, she wanted to take part in the rasa dance. And, you know, she couldn't. Why she couldn't? She's performing, still performing. So much austerity is there in Mahavan, in Vrindavan. She's only eating khichdi once a day. She's dressed in a very poor dress. And she's performing austerities year after year after year after year after year. But it doesn't help. Because despite of all these austerities, she still wants to be the goddess of fortune. She cannot give it up. She cannot give up the pride that I'm a beautifully wedded queen of Lord Krishna, and therefore he has to dance with me. And Krishna says, I don't care about you. Because you cannot give up this little slight tinge of pride. You know, sometimes we are proud that we are so great devotees, or sometimes we are proud that we are, and it's a good pride in one sense, because it's a good thing to be proud of. It's a good thing to be proud of that I'm a chaste wife. But Krishna says, for my sake, gopis are ready to give up everything. They are ready to give up their reputation, they are ready to give up everything. For what? Just to run for me for one night. And during this night I say to them, you go to home, you know, I don't want to see you here. And they say, no, Krishna, we want you. You know, their love is not divided to anything else. They only love Krishna. And when they love Krishna in this way, Krishna starts crying. He says, I cannot be like them. If somebody will come to me and say, you have to give up love of Mother Yashoda, he says, I can't do this. I love her so much, I cannot give up her love. But the gopis of Vrindavan, they gave up love of their parents, they gave up love of their husbands, they gave up love of everyone for the sake of loving Krishna. And Krishna says, when I see this sacrifice, my heart melts. Because it's unheard of. There is nothing else in this world like love of gopis. When they don't care about anything else, they only care about Krishna and his pleasure. And Srila Prabhupada is very beautifully explains this in this purport. He says that the gopis of Vrindavan, they only want to have Krishna in Vrindavan for his pleasure, for the sake of his pleasure, because they know that they are the ones who can give him the maximum pleasure. And this pleasure is so immense that Krishna becomes indebted to the gopis of Vrindavan, and therefore he says, Naparayaham, Mamavidya Samvida. He says, I cannot repay my debt to you in thousands of years. And therefore he comes to this material world as Lord Chaitanya to experience this undivided love of gopis. When the love is not divided, the love of Krishna is divided into so many channels. But gopis' love is a kantika. It's one-pointed. And because it's one-pointed, it's undivided. And because it's undivided, it's so strong. And because it's so strong, it brings Krishna back to Vrindavan. And because it's so strong, the highest manifestation and the highest abode in this material world, and not only in the material world, the highest abode in the whole of creation is Vrindavan. When the love rules supreme, when there is nothing else but love of Krishna and loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. So this is the celebration which we are about to celebrate today, the celebration of love. Actually, during this Radhayatri festival, we celebrate this very deep and profound philosophical point that there is nothing more precious. There is nothing more precious than love. Everything else is insignificant in comparison with pure love. And this is the gift which Lord Chaitanya came to give to all of us. No matter how undeserving we are, we may be very fallen, we may be very, you know, attached, we may be very dirty and sinful. It doesn't matter. Lord Chaitanya comes and he says, it doesn't matter whether you're qualified or not, yogya or ayogya, doesn't matter. You may be yogya, very qualified, you may be ayogya, because actually nobody is qualified for this. Nobody is qualified for this. There is not the one single person who really has qualification to hold or to really keep this love is in the heart. The Lord Chaitanya comes and he says, here it is, take it. This is the highest achievement, you know, this is the highest goal which you can have. Dharma is insignificant. Kama, artha, moksha, is all pebbles. This is pure gold. This is diamond. Prema Pumarta Mahan. And he says, you can get it. You can obtain it. If you purely, without offenses, chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And heaven. Just try to be careful and avoid the offenses of the Holy Name. And always remember that the most precious thing which is made available to us by Lord Chaitanya is this love. Love of gopis. Love of Srimati Radharani. Which even Krishna appreciates more than anything else. He has everything else. But he forsakes everything else for the sake of this most precious love. And he goes to village and lives as a cowherd boy to experience this love, to have this first-hand experience of the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And today we will imitate gopis. We will pretend that we have this love. And we will pull Krishna. And at the same time, we will chant this powerful holy name of Krishna, this Taraka Brahm, Taraka Nam, Taraka Mantra, the mantra which not only gives liberation, but also its Paraka Nam, gives the qualification to your heart to hold this love, to have this love which is undivided, which is I can't do that, which is totally selfless, totally pure. And that's the meaning of this Ratha Yatra festival, which we will have today. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Srila Rukmini Dwaraka Desh ki
jai,
Sri Jagannath Bhagadev Subhadra Mai ki
jai,
Gaur Premanandi. Is there any
question?
Yes.
Каким образом они умудряются доверить и кофей, и корову, и все остальное? Как они что должны? Только Кришна.
The question is that I told that gopis only love Krishna. How do they see the cows and the children and everyone else? If they only love Krishna, how they can even see it and anything else? Well, they see everything else in connection with Krishna. In this material world, when we see or look at object, this object has the capacity to distract our mind, and we always look at the object and see whether this object can bring us some pleasure. In fact, we only see something which brings us pleasure. That's what, this is our constant meditation. If we see that something cannot bring us any pleasure, then we don't see it. You know, if a man goes near the shop where the women's clothes is being sold, he doesn't look there, he doesn't see it, because it's something which doesn't bring him any enjoyment. His mind doesn't go there. But if he sees some, you know, men's clothes, you know, immediately, phew. You know, this is how mind works. You only see what can bring you some pleasure. And therefore, everything else distracts your mind from Krishna. But when gopis look at any object of the world, they are reminded of Krishna. They are connected with Krishna through this particular object. When they see cows, they don't see cows per se. They don't see cows as such. They only see cows because Krishna is milking cows, and because Krishna is loving cows, and they love cows because Krishna loves cows, not because they love cows themselves. Like also it is said that one of the items of pure bhakti, pure sadhana, is worship of cows. So does it mean that just by feeding cows grass, you know, you can get bhakti? No, you cannot get bhakti. So many people give grass to cows, and they don't get any speck of bhakti. But if they worship cows because the cows are dear to Krishna, because there is a very strong connection between the cows and Krishna in their mind, and they worship cows in such a way as the attributes of Krishna, or they worship Datri tree or any other tree in this world, not just because this is a tree, you know, and you somehow or other you have this mind that you worship this tree. It is also said that you have to worship Amalaki tree. Not because this Amalaki tree is special, but because Krishna loves it, it's special. And therefore it has the capacity to remind us about Krishna. The cow has the capacity to remind us about Krishna because Krishna is so intimately connected with this cow. And when they see their little children, they also are reminded of Krishna. They're not reminded of their household affairs, or they're not distracted in their love of Krishna by anything else. There is no any question. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Rukmini Dwaraka Desh ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya ki jai. Gaura Premanande ki jai. Shri Radha Giridhari ki jai. Jai.